going to the hurry-up offense.
Matt in the gun on the near hash mark. Takes a snap. Play fake to Freeman. Ryan wants to throw. Jones the catch.
Look out!
Flag down midfield. Julio into Green Bay territory. A stiff arm at the 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Atlanta.
And I'm in the flanker right. Two receivers left. Brady pulls away. Give the Deion Lewis. He tosses it back to Brady. And a flea flicker. He had Mitchell open. He throws instead for Hogan to the right. Touchdown Patriots.
Final play of the game. They'll give it to Christian Michael. And he will run out of room on a tackle by Olatoye, and the ball game is over. Dan Quinn in year two has taken Atlanta to the Super Bowl.
Play clock at 5. Tom Brady takes the snap, and with one more kneel down,
here we go.
The New England Patriots will play one more game in this 2016-17 season.
Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Ike Taylor, Cynthia Freeland here in Studio 66 along with me. We'll say proper hellos to both of them in just a moment, but oh my goodness, all of a sudden there's so much to talk about. Super Bowl 51, just the tip of the iceberg. Speaking of Super Bowls, before anything else, I want to make sure that I let you know we have another edition of Eternal Red Zone coming your way, the Super Bowl edition, so be on the lookout for that one. Coming up on NFL.com/DDFP, on Facebook and everywhere else. We appreciate everybody who's watched it, the hundreds of thousands, in fact, who've watched the other rounds here. So we appreciate
100,000?
Oh, way beyond that. 500,000 watched it, watched the championship round there, Ike Taylor. But listen, that's in the rearview mirror. That's self-promotional stuff. We have to talk about the outfit you used to wear. You have a nice outfit on today, but you used to wear one that was colored black and gold. That's where a lot of the news is coming from right now. It's I guess this is the time where you go back and you dissect, you do the autopsy on what went wrong here. We're going to look ahead to 51, of course, much to get to with the brilliant performance of Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, what else is new there, the way they just pretty much humiliated the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Ike, you know, you obviously are not too far removed from that locker room, the coaches that were a part of what I think was honestly an embarrassing thing, but there are many stories coming out of Pittsburgh. So let's start there today, shall we? First of all, the news about Ben Roethlisberger. Saying earlier on Tuesday morning on local radio there, 93.7, The Fan, that maybe he's open to retirement, something to that effect. This is so breaking that I don't even have the exact quote from him. Do you think he plays in 2017? Let's start there.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Seven's still going to play. That loss is still fresh. You know, you got an opportunity for him. It would have been his, fourth Super Bowl appearance. That would have been huge for him. For him to actually win the Super Bowl would have been even greater. That would have put him at 3. You know, just coming from the background of the defense being a strong point. Nah, it's the offensive side. It's Seven and his offense. That's the strong point to the Pittsburgh Steelers at this present moment.
Right now, so, right. Yeah, that's
yeah,
definitely
so
true.
It's like, okay, y'all used to talk about all the help I had on the defensive side. I'm getting here with this offense, and this is my offense. And I'm probably the oldest or one of the oldest on the team, so other than James Harrison. So this guy really taking into consideration, man. I just look at it as the loss is still fresh, and it hurts.
Yeah, that's like, I mean,
right?
Correct me if I'm wrong. If I just was at a hoagie eating contest, then don't ask me if I'm hungry right now. Like that's
right.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am hungry, but that's neither here nor there. Here. Yeah, I know. But anyway, normal human beings, right? I'm talking about here.
Right.
Yeah, if you just ate, then that's the wrong time to ask somebody how anxious they are for their next meal.
Right.
In other words, right?
Right. No, I get it. Like I say, man, the loss is just fresh. Mm-hmm. You know, he's feeling some kind of way right now, and I understand. I've been there before, not on a retirement purpose, but that loss still fresh, man. You ready to get back to the season right now? You know, we lost that Super Bowl in 2010. The next 2 days, I was back working out because I wanted to get back to the Super Bowl. So for Ben, it's just later on in his career, man, at this stage, the man saw the opportunity. And the opportunity was to have another Super Bowl appearance, let alone win another Super Bowl. That would have put the Pittsburgh Steelers at 7. that.
It's the double whammy. If you keep track of these things, and certainly I do, if you consider who your contemporary rival is,
right.
I wouldn't call the Patriots a rival. They always beat the Steelers.
Right.
So you can't really properly define what they have as a rivalry. Either way, the victory by the Patriots elevates them, puts them in another Super Bowl, ergo the Steelers get knocked down a little bit. Of course, the flip of that, you know, it's the double whammy. Real quick, Bartlett, I want to dissect some of what we saw in the AFC title game, but Bartlett behind the glass, what is Tomlin's reaction? He just had his press conference here on Tuesday.
So Tomlin, he says he's not alarmed. He hasn't heard anything yet about it, but he said he's not surprised. He said that's life. It's a thought process. He also says that he hasn't met with Ben yet, but he said that's usually their plan. He's one of the last, if not the last, players that he meets with each year.
I also want to get into the growing rumors, Ike, and hear your thoughts on Antonio Brown Discord there as well. Some stuff about AB wanted the ball after he was pouting, supposedly, after the first Steelers touchdown because he didn't get the ball in a playoff game, in the title game with the Super Bowl on the line. That's weird. But first, Cynthia Freeland, let's hear from you on this. Dissect as much as you can what you saw in the title game there. I mean, I keep hearing the cliche, Belichick was playing chess and the Steelers were playing checkers. It's hard to argue against. It was an embarrassing scheme that the Steelers threw out there against the GOAT, right?
Well, the scheme was altered by the fact that Lev Bell left the game. I'm sure that, you know, when you have your best, one of your, if not your best player, sitting on the sidelines injured, that's going to have to change what you do. And I think it was more, you know, Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick figuring out, let's do this. You know, like, it makes your offense more one-dimensional. I mean, you can speak to this more than I can, but I don't know if it's, you know, if we would have seen a healthy Lev Bell, I don't know if it would have been quite as lopsided.
You really feel, there are several things about in the flow of the first half that, Sammy Coates should have caught the first pass. Seven dropped it in the bucket. Coates barely got a finger on it. Kobe Hamilton dropped a touchdown. They don't score from the 1 foot line. There are a lot of things that could have made the appearances as they walk into the locker room that this is a tie game or a very tight game, all that. But I still feel like, ultimately, you saw there was no covering Chris Hogan, and I don't mean human beings weren't capable of it. I'm talking about the Steelers' approach to it made it so that people were going to be running free all day. It was almost inexplicable. It was downright embarrassing, I feel like, about the way they approached that game with that same soft zone. 12 years already, Ike, that this is what they've been showing. 12. They don't adjust at all. It's not one game. And by the way, Mike Mitchell also said, they've never run a flea flicker this year. Yeah, they ran one in December against your arch-rival Baltimore Ravens. They just seemed ill-prepared for a game against Belichick and Tom Brady, and you know that those guys are going to be sharp and have something
in store
for you.
Let me ask you just a little devil's advocate here. And yes, I do acknowledge that this was a very lopsided second half, but if they would have gone into the locker room 10-10, if it would have, you know, at halftime been closer tie, whatever it could have been, I don't know if the game plan in the second half would have been the same, right? So not that you can go back and kind of adjust, but it's kind of like
stop telling the truth. You took the words out my mouth. She took the words out my mouth. I totally agree with Miss Cynthia. If Lev Bell would have stayed in the game plan would have changed on the offensive side for the New England Patriots. Why? Because Lev Bell controls the clock. Mm-hmm. Why? You're not taking as many deep threats. So now when Lev Bell is not in the game, your game plan has to change. So Pittsburgh Steelers, we haven't seen Pittsburgh Steelers throw that many deep balls in this amount of time. Sammy Coates was on the shelf for a while, and we talked about this yesterday. We haven't seen Sammy for a while. So DeMarcus Ayers, A.B., and Eli Rogers – them three guys had a pretty good game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs has a pretty good defense. So I'm looking at it, why switch now? So why see Coates now?
I can't believe why they sat
Morgan,
15. Why would they
why
have sat
Morgan
Ayers?
Now?
That's Belichick and company getting in their
I'm
head.
I'm looking at it like
kickoff.
Something ain't right. Then on the defensive side, I'm seeing James Harrison in coverage. No, I don't want my 38-year-old outside linebacker who can get to the quarterback in coverage. I want him rushing the quarterback because that's what he does well. When I saw that, I'm like, okay, something ain't right. and I don't like what I'm seeing. But getting back to Ms. Cynthia's point, when you have a Lev Bell and he's out, he pretty much controls everything in your thought process.
I do agree with you that grinding the clock and everything else.
One more time. As an offense, when Le'Veon Bell isn't in the game, so for the Patriots, we can start taking more chances because they don't have that weapon in Lev Bell. They're not controlling that clock. So we feel like we're going to have more opportunities, and that's why.
Okay, interesting thoughts there. Back to the Antonio Brown thing. Bottom line it for us here. There are rumors swirling. Obviously, we know about the Facebook Live post after the divisional round. Is Antonio Brown with the Steelers in 2017 by kickoff?
Yeah.
You think he is?
Yeah, the only thing about this, though, will they make him play the whole contract out?
That's you don't think that they're going to then – so do you think this talk as recently as a week ago that he's in store for a mega deal, you think that maybe gets shelved for the time being?
Yeah, I think it will get shelved for a quick little minute.
He's not going to be happy if that happens, though. Man, it could start a domino.
Listen. Without seven, there's no AB.
Right.
You can say what you want to say. Take seven out of the equation, it might be a little bit different.
Don't say that too loud because that's going to make AB want to challenge that and test that.
And that's good. Hopefully so. But this is how I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers at the wide receiver position. If it's one position they feel like they draft well, it's that wide receiver position. Let's go back. Plexico Burress. So after Plex, Hines Ward. After Hines Ward, Antoine Randle-L. That's your first three, right? Mm-hmm. Bam, them first three gone. So what you do now? You get a Santonio Holmes. Mm-hmm. Santonio Holmes, Super Bowl MVP. You know what? We didn't like what you was doing off the field. We didn't like your attitude. We're going to ship you. There's no greater moment than being a Super Bowl MVP. And then the following year, you were not with that team. So you get a Mike Wallace, a Emmanuel Sanders. See, that's what people forgot. Then you have Antonio Brown. Hey, Mike, man, we love you, but you can go. E.
They made a choice. We're going to keep you, Antonio Brown. We're going to let you walk. Right.
So now, and we forgot Martavis Bryant sitting on the shelf.
I didn't forget.
So people at the wide receiver position, they do well at drafting and scouting at that wide receiver position. So anybody can get it. Anybody can get it. So I love AB to death. But he got to understand you're playing for a good organization.
Bottom line, he will be with the Steelers.
Oh, no question.
But you don't think he's going to then hold out if they say, well, we're not going to give you that mega deal. That seems almost likely given what we know.
Oh, he's not going to hold out.
No.
I don't think he'll hold out.
It's interesting because if you count how many quarterbacks make their wide receivers look good as in throw pass, if you kind of map out the statistics of reception percentage and like when you go back and on film and you say like, is that one on the quarterback? Is that one on the, you know, on the wide receiver? Honestly, you want to be – there's only about maybe 10 quarterbacks that really make their wide receivers look just ridiculous, not 32. There, it's not – you can't just go to any team and still be the same caliber of wide receiver.
I know, but these human beings that are playing pro football have egos, and so sometimes the egos dictate in their own heads, I can show you I can do it without that guy.
I mean, I hope so.
Okay, right.
I hope so, but seven is a top five quarterback, and it's hard to argue. I would have these stats without seven. Mm-hmm. It's hard to argue that. It's hard to argue that.
I know.
Ask DeAndre Hopkins.
As long as I hope he doesn't talk to Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders.
Who, by the way,
the water's fine over here in Denver. AB.
By the way, Emmanuel Sanders, amazing on TV. Really, like Man, I have to
real
give.
Good, right?
He was so good.
Yeah. The dude was real good.
He's already.
Let's transition then into something sunnier. You guys both are a lot softer on this than I was. I am. My reaction was, this is shameful. I mean,
I think things are still a little raw for you too.
No.
No question.
That's right. You know what? That's exactly right. That's exactly.
He feeling some kind of way.
Delay a game.
No, delay a game. We're trying to figure out what happened in the AFC title game. But all right, you're right. I am perhaps a little obsessive. Let's celebrate Super Bowl 51, which I guess shapes up to be interesting as I try to look at it objectively. Cynthia, to that point, scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate the Super Bowl matchup?
Do you like points? Here's my questionnaire. Do you like points?
Yeah, I mean, sure, I guess so.
Do you like two awesome quarterback narratives?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I think maybe this is a good Super Bowl for you then, right? Like, I think there's a good reason to believe that a lot of points will be scored. Everybody likes points, right?
Scale of 1 to 10.
I give it an 8.
An 8 as a matchup going in.
Yeah. This is, only five times in Super Bowl history have we seen the number one rated quarterback in terms of passer rating meeting the number two quarterback in passer rating. This is the highest scoring offense that we've seen, that'd be Atlanta, of course, that we've seen in like the Super Bowl era. So I don't know. I think it sounds like fun.
I think it's compelling, but I think that that's informed largely by what we just saw. What have you shown us lately? That performance against the Packers. If they had merely survived in that game, I think we'd say, I said a week ago, if we get New England and Atlanta, we're going to have to spend 2 weeks conjuring some lines to try and make it like the Falcons have a chance. Now I feel like a lot of people feel like the Falcons can win this game.
I feel like the Falcons can win.
But if they hadn't housed Green Bay, we wouldn't feel that way. We'd say, oh, they're not going to be able to mentally match Belichick and Brady and everybody. Now I kind of buy that they could. Don't give me the stink eye, Freeland.
Here's 10. Here's my question. Wait. Hold on 1 second here. Here's my question. Why are you like, oh, the Patriots got this? Why was it such a lock?
I mean, because the what do you mean,
I
why?
Falcons have been on a pretty nice
because they're in every
here.
Other Super Bowl. The Falcons have never been there.
Did you see what they did against Green Bay?
4 days ago.
Did you see their defense against
it was very good.
Green Bay? Because remember Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, anoint him.
But you're making my point, Freeland. Now you're getting the Jazz hands.
Well, because
Freeland.
I feel like we're like, we put, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
But you just made my point. That's exactly right. If before the Green Bay game, we didn't feel this way.
They looked pretty good for, like, you know, they're on a pretty good win streak, too.
I have said, like Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I was wrong about Matt Ryan.
I mean, remember when you actually don't say you're wrong?
Man, Matt
Ryan. I cover it again in the Sheck Report this week. Check it out.
They killing me on Twitter because they know I'm just a Matty Ice. Like, Matty Ice got to show me.
So, I know. Man, I've been getting a lot of heat.
Yeah, Matty Ice is showing me he's that guy.
They're rising up against us.
Yeah, he's that guy. But they playing at home, so let's not forget that. So you're not playing at home anymore. So who's Orbach anyway?
Dirty Dancing. Did you ever see Dirty Dancing?
No, I never saw it.
You never saw it with Patrick Swayze?
There's like a big lift at the
Jennifer Grey. Yeah.
Before the nose job.
The, you know what, Orbach, I'd like to Factor, you know, a nominee for most overused Sheck bit.
That's what it is.
I don't think that's something to laugh that's at. What it but is. I'll tell you this. I would now like to see Cynthia Freeland and Ike Taylor reenact
we can do the
Dirty
lift.
Dancing scene.
We can do the lift.
I'd like to say that'd be a nice thing. Ike, so bottom line, 1 to 10. How excited are you for this matchup?
A 10.
10.
I'm going with a 10 all day, man. You got Matty Ice and company. And you got Tom Brady. Oh, just Tom Brady.
I'd rather see them go. I'd rather the Falcons have been there before, so I felt like, whoa, that's not going to be an element to this game. I think there is a – well, we don't know. When a team's never been in a Super Bowl, you don't know how they're going to react.
Yeah, but that's the better storyline. It's like, oh, my goodness,
I get it, but we forget who the head coach is.
Yeah, he's been there.
And he beat them boys before, and he won a Super Bowl.
Okay, see, that's
that's who we forgetting. Coach Dan Quinn been there before, and he know this team.
All right, you know what?
He's pretty cool with this team. They're familiar to him. So he looking at it like, I like my chances too. Like, I know their defense can't stop my offense. I'm going to find a way to stop their offense.
I know, but that's the thing. Belichick seems like he takes – like Julio Jones, I find it hard to imagine, is going to be the MVP of this game.
It ain't – and somebody going to wind up taking this segment and they're going to say it on TV because they're listening. I know they're listening. It's not between Julio Jones.
You did well answering the Antonio Brown question, Ike. That would definitely be news if you said, oh, I don't think he's going to be on the Steelers.
It's going to be the defensive end duo. So whoever defensive ends on either sides.
We're going to dig in on that. Bite your tongue, Ike.
Okay.
That's called show business.
Okay,
see?
I'm sorry.
That's teasing what we're about to talk about. Let's start the show. Hi, yes, and hi and hello. Go
Football
ahead.
Hi. It's your old pal, hello. Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Show. Hi, this is Dave Damashek. I'm Ike Taylor, Miss Cynthia Freeling. Can you start the show now?
We just did, Ike.
Okay.
Do you back to that Falcons game, just
okay.
Try to give some semblance of fair time to the NFC title game. Do you blame, because I've got, talk about getting hit up on Twitter and social media. A lot of people, I like to, I like to wave the flag for Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback I've ever seen, so on and so forth. Do you blame Aaron Rodgers for the Packers' loss there, Freeland?
No, stop it. No.
Keep giving me the stink eye today, Freeland. I didn't say it. People are saying, when are you going to say, when are you going to blame Rodgers for this? I don't blame Rodgers for that game.
So, okay, here's what, from a stats point of view, here's how I view it. When you overperform, so think about when a batter has a home run streak, just a ridiculous home run streak. At some point, you have to come down more towards your batting average, right? So if you're doing a bunch of things that are very low probability and you keep hitting on them, so a Hail Mary, passing outside the pocket. Yes, he's better at passing outside the pocket than other quarterbacks, but it's still a low probability event because at some point someone's going to sack you, right? So when you keep doing a lot of low probability things really, really well, and you know things keep bouncing in your favor on these low probability events, at some point you have to. It'll come back down more towards your mean. And I think what happened here is the whole team, I mean, who that Ripkowski losing the ball there was very
– That was huge.
That was a that,
it
and
was
that
on
was
their
super
way.
Unfortunate. They hadn't had many giveaways, you know, 0.2 giveaways per game in the past five leading into it. Like, that was huge, right? So, honestly, like, you know, at some point when a lot of low probability things keep happening, it at some point the luck will change.
Hey, AR-12 was inaccurate. You know, on some throws, but also they dropped a lot of passes. His receivers didn't help him at all. And that fumble heading into the end zone was huge. That would have changed the whole course of the game. That's just like Lev Bell getting hurt changed the whole course of the game. So now as for Atlanta, man, your play calling, you good now because you didn't took points off the board. They didn't get 3 or 7. We got the ball back. So now we can take chances and be a little bit aggressive on our play calling because that's an extra possession for us. And that when we took points off the board for them. So when you look at it like that, man, that's just how it go. I wouldn't definitely blame it on AR-12, man. It's just he needed a lot of help.
The two games leading into it, they called pass on 70% of plays. And no team in 10 years had won two playoff games with that high of a passing percentage on play calling. So again, there are these high, like that's just, it's a little bit of luck involved when you're passing that often and you just happen to hit. And possessions are super key. The Falcons play like a slow pace and they're very efficient. They score about 3.11 points in 10.1 possessions per game over the five leading into it. That's a lot. That's like, that's a field goal every possession if you think about it on average. Whereas the Green Bay Packers, they scored about 2.8 points per possession and they needed 11.6 possessions in a game to get there. So when you look at how important that turnover percentage is, that's where that really switched the whole dynamic.
The Falcons' first 9 possessions, they scored 8 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense was just decimated. People now also the other guy who's being targeted here is Dom Capers. I mean, perhaps he deserves that over the long haul of his body of work here. But I mean, what could anybody do? They had no pieces out there. It was ridiculous.
Who didn't have pieces?
The Packers. By the end of it, their defense was destroyed.
MJD was calling it as the game was going. Like, this is what the defensive coordinator is used to doing. If I know it's sitting down on this chair, what you think the offense on the Falcons know? Hey, Ike, when they get in the red zone, Ike, he's going to go cover 0, and the corner's going to be out by themselves, and they're not going to get to the quarterback. So cover 0 is an all-out blitz. Hopefully we can get to the quarterback. You can't call cover 0 on the red zone because the ball is coming out fast anyway. So now you're really leaving – any corner with Julio Jones 1-on-1, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to call me a zone coverage. I'm going to double Julio Jones. Now, the rest of y'all got to win. Mm-hmm. But when you know that, and he knows this just by sitting on the couch, I can know what they're about to call in the red zone. MJD, what they about to call? They about to call cover 0. You lying. Watch this. Watch he do an all-out blitz because that's what Coach Don Capers like to do. That's just his resume. And watch they score. He going to throw it to Julio. Bam.
See, that's the kind of insight you get from Maurice Jones-Drew and his best pal, Ike Taylor. Let's say hello to him right now, shall we?
Yeah, Ike Taylor, I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R.
I can't dance.
That's in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Walked on in college, drafted to PA.
That's right.
Number 24 has got opinions for days.
Uh-huh.
I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Taylor.
Boy, that just keeps – I feel like there are now 17 versions of that song. It's very good. That's my favorite one right there.
Shot 412 is have a package for you.
Oh.
So.
Thank you, Mike.
You Gucci. I just
412. You got the pit colors on your head, the blue and gold.
Yep.
Very nice. Thanks, Ike. You're all right, man. I appreciate that. Shout out to Dick Banks for the great the one-man house band for that keen intro. And that brings me to this. We don't have a video just yet, but Marianne Freeman hit me up
so
on
heavy.
Social media. Where's my girl's where's my little baby's intro song already?
What a girl intro song get, Shaq?
Right here.
No.
This is so exciting.
It's Marianne's daughter here to steal the show. Back in the day, she had a mullet with the funky flow. Running marathons for her fitness goals. On the PDFP, she got the stat control.
She got the best beat.
She's a gunslinger. She do the math in her head. She don't count fingers. No one to question in numbers. Surely waste to you. She's from Michigan. Yo, it's Cynthia.
That's fresh.
This is the best one ever.
Wait a second. Who did that? Was that
that was incredible.
Was that the one-man house band, Dick Banks?
Oh, man.
Busting Rhymes?
Oh, man.
That was
Dick,
so
man.
Good.
Dick gave, did you hear her beat? She got the best beats.
Who?
I like that my mom makes a cameo in it, too. She's going to be really happy about
that.
She's
going to be
fired
up. Your mom going to be fired.
Oh, yeah. And
all
I did have a mullet. I did have a mullet. It's all true.
You had a mullet?
Yeah.
Shut up. Get a picture. Call your mom and tell your mom to take a picture so I can see this mullet.
See, this is what we learned over the weekend. There were 3 million women out there marching for their cause. One woman in Michigan emailing or tweeting at me for her cause, her daughter's.
She got the best intro.
Now she
got the best intro.
That was pretty. You like that?
I'm gonna get the picture of me with the mullet, though. I had like, do you remember those French bikinis? They have like the thing cut out in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had a French bikini. I have a mullet. I'm standing on a dock on a lake holding a fish. What?
1 to 10. How do you feel about the song?
11.
Wow. How about that?
11.
You got the best intro.
I do have the best intro.
MVP behind the glass. Did you write the lyrics for that?
I did not. I actually did write the Marianne lyric, though.
Amazing.
One of the lyrics.
I like it. I like it, Emma.
Thanks. That's my favorite one.
I'm pissed off because she got the best beat.
Well, it was very strong. I can't argue with that. Now she's taunting you.
No, I'm just dancing because I'm happy. It's a happy dance.
Hey, thanks to the good soul and the proud Czech Republic citizen who took Football Baby into enemy territory.
Whoa.
Didn't work out, but he did go to Foxborough, did Football Baby, so we appreciate that. Take him to the Super Bowl. In fact, you know what? I got it from here. There
he
is. Max Pushkin.
Good job, Max. Good
job. He took him in there. He wore his black and gold 26 jersey. He walked out sad, no doubt, but we appreciate the effort there.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. And we got 41 stamps now across Football America, nay, the football planet.
That's crazy.
His passport all stamped up. Great idea there, Ryan Bartlett. I think that closes the book. You want to keep it going, though. Let's keep sending Football Baby wherever we are on the planet.
Oh, might as well.
Yeah, we'll get some pictures with him in Houston, right, Ike?
Oh, no.
Perfect.
Question. No
right,
question.
Let's Jack, talk
I gotta
about
go. I got to go do something for 1 minute because we started a little later, so I got to tell them for my next
team. A grand excuse.
I'll be right back.
Listen,
I'll be right back.
Nature calls, go do what you have to do. That's all right. We're all human beings, Cynthia. You don't have to come up with big excuses. Ike, okay, let's talk a couple of football player related things that only you can really answer here. Did the fire alarm, or does that, because you hear about shenanigans like that, is that an actual distraction or nah, as Roethlisberger said at the podium after the AFC title game?
I think it is.
It is a distraction.
It is. Man,
I mean, I don't like getting woken up in the middle of the night.
My point
either,
exactly. But. Like, you're messing up my sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, I got an important game. I'm getting to bed early. I'm dreaming. I'm getting the proper rest. And then the fire alarm go off. So what you got to do when the fire alarm go off? They ask everybody to get up out their rooms, go downstairs, got to check all the rooms to make sure everything is straight. Then you got to walk back up, settle down, and now I can't get this good sleep.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. All right, next, both losers of the title games lost by a lot, roughly 3 touchdowns-ish, mm-hmm. 20-ish or so points. Is it better? You've been a part of close losses, and you've been a part of blowout losses. Which is better in the playoffs?
An L is an L.
I know, but
little,
which
little or man, ain't no.
Well, I asked LaDainian Tomlinson the same question, and he said, "Oh no, you rather get blown out because then it starts to dawn over you over the last hour, like we're not going to win this game, and so it's a slow burn rather than a smack in the
Man,
side.
That L is an L.
Yeah,
I don't care how that L is, whether it's 14-13 or whether it's 43-3.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that L is an L, man. That L hurts.
What do you say to level so losing for fans, I suspect, feels a little bit different than it does for players. For you guys, we remember Rob Gronkowski right after the Super Bowl infamously dancing, and a lot of people didn't like that. How dare he let loose? Well, I mean, he's a early 20s guy. He just, you know, the – basically, if it's the equivalent of being an accountant at tax season on the 15th of April or the 16th of April, you probably let your hair down a little bit, even though it was like, well, that was a grind. It didn't end the way I wanted it to. But all right, you know, times are still good. Right? I mean, is that the way players react? Because fans are devastated. I guarantee you people in Green Bay and Pittsburgh right now are feeling awfully sad. Oh, man. Well, I was really excited for the Super Bowl. I really wanted to go, and I had to cancel my plans. I had a hotel reserved in Houston. Now I have to let that go. And even if you know, I really was excited now. I don't know if I'm going to watch. Where are players right now?
Depends on who you ask. It depends on if it's a rookie. It depends on if it's a guy in his prime, or it depends on if it's a veteran guy. If you're a rookie, you just happy to be in the league. You know? You happy to be in the league. Oh, man, that was a great experience. I learned a lot this year. Hopefully I can be better for myself and
that's
my
like
team.
Like Le'Veon Bell tweets immediately after the game. Oh, we're going to come back better and everything else. Roethlisberger on the other end is like, I don't know, maybe I should just retire.
Better for the team and everything. So you get a guy like Antonio Brown and Lev Bell, who pretty much in their prime, these guys in their prime. You know, so now it's like, hey, man, we still got life. We got a lot of life left, you know, but you're in your prime, so you don't know any better, you know. So that's why Lev just tweeted ASAP, like, yeah, it hurt, but I promise y'all, man, we're going to be back next year. Watch us. I'm telling y'all, watch this. So then you get your guy, your veteran guy who's, you know, on the cusp of just – oh, man, it hurts. This L is fresh. And then Ben Roethlisberger. So, Ben, are you open to retirement? I'll consider retirement. So, three different phrases mean three different stages from three different kind of guys. Your rookie guy who feels like they have a lifetime to get better and things are on up and up for the future. Your guys when they're prime, who's on Pluto. So Pluto mean they sky high right now. Can't nobody touch them. You know, they the best at their positions right now, and they are. Between Antonio Brown, Lev Bell, they're the best at their positions right now. So they in their prime, and you got a guy, you know, just like LeBron James said today, man, I need help. He said, I'm 33 years old, you know, and I felt like that was very unselfish for LeBron to say today. He's 33. He done won them three championships already, gave one back to Cleveland, and he's still saying he needs help. That's what Seven's saying. Like, man, it's like I got a load on my shoulders, man. I finally had an offensive line who was healthy for the most part of this year. In this big game, I needed my primetime player and my young players to step up, and I couldn't find them. So
I didn't think that was unfair. I mean, I've seen guys call out other teammates, call out offense.
No, I didn't say it was unfair. I'm just saying.
No. I'm saying a lot of people are, though. People are saying that was uncool.
Of seven?
Roethlisberger to say after the game that some of his young guys maybe weren't ready for the moment and everything else. I thought that was perfectly valid based on what we saw.
He ain't lying.
Yeah, right. What I mean, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the passes he was throwing.
Right.
That should have been caught.
That's like a non-controversy.
Now, if he was throwing bad passes, like, all right, Seven, you can't say that. But the one to Sammy Coates was in the bucket. The one to Morgan, then the touchdown, was in the bucket. A few to Jesse James was in the bucket. So, yeah, he have that right to say that.
I mean, I agree. So, all right. So, now let's look ahead to Super Bowl 51.
Mm-hmm.
The key Super Bowl matchup is blank versus blank, and it's so important it will determine the winner. a 51.
See, we were talking about this yesterday, and you stopped me earlier in your show from saying this. So everybody going to say the avatar, Julio Jones.
Yep. I'm sure 90% of the talk will be about how are they going to stop Julio, right?
Yeah. Everybody going to say the avatar, Julio Jones. Oh, you're going to say Tom Brady on the other side, you know? But this is what I'm saying. And I know y'all going to steal it from me. I already know y'all going to steal it from me. I get it. And I want y'all to because y'all don't think like how I think. It's going to be the defensive end duo on either team. So whichever team has the best defensive end duo on that particular day will win the ball game. Why? Because now Matty Ice ain't sitting back there throwing to Julio Jones. He got pressure on him. Mm-hmm. So now Tom Brady ain't sitting back there. He got pressure on him. Whichever team has the best defensive end duo for that day will win this ball game.
I think that's good analysis there. And I would say specifically, we do know how do you beat Tom Brady? You got to heat him up. What did the Broncos do in the title game last year?
They hit him.
They got to him. They smacked him around. He doesn't like it. Nobody does, but he really doesn't react well to that. That's everything. How did the Giants win not one but two Super Bowls?
They hit him.
That is how you do it.
They didn't get pressure. They hit him. It's the difference between
T-Suggs and those
and
guys. Right. How the Ravens – why do the Ravens – oh, they go up there. They're not nervous playing in Foxborough. It's practical – hitting them. That's what you do.
Right.
If the Falcons can get the Brady, they have a real chance to win this
right.
game. If they don't heat Brady up, then they're not going to win the game.
Correct.
Simple as that. I agree with that, Ike. Very good. Best Super Bowl uniform matchup. I don't care for this one particularly. I give it a C at best. I don't like the uniform matchup here.
Best
uniform matchup you've ever seen. Here's what this one looks at. You can watch us NFL.com/DDFP if you want to see what we're talking about here throughout instead of just listening to us. Either way, we appreciate it. I think if they both had their retro uniforms, this would be handsome. What's your favorite one that you ever saw looks-wise?
I like us in the Cardinals.
That was nice.
Yeah, I like that look. I like us in the Cardinals big time. I don't know why. I guess a fact came out. The team who wears white usually wins the Super Bowl.
It is a weird thing. I wonder
right?
why that is.
I don't know.
So, it's random. It's every other year you flip-flop. The conference gets the choice. That's why you'll often see the Cowboys, when you know, it throws it out of whack because they always like to wear their white, so it throws you out of whack a little bit. You guys in 40, because you were Road Warriors, chose to wear the white. I didn't approve of that decision.
Didn't we win?
One, but okay. I said, but the black jerseys in the Super Bowl look better. I like, just for the record, I'd like to share mine because I'm both a fashionista and a fan of the old school look. I like Super Bowl II. It's the most underrated one ever. It's the Packers and their road whites against the blacks of the Raiders. That was nice. Oh, there it is, right there. We're looking at it.
I like
right
that
now.
Old school.
Look how nice that looks, Ike.
Yeah, look how that boy come around that corner. Oh, he about to hurt somebody.
Gene Upshaw, and then
he about to hurt somebody, daddy.
Here's, by the way, that's someone's daddy's catching on social media, too. You getting a lot of hits on that, too?
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of people like, oh, I bet Ike Taylor's saying right now that's someone's daddy.
On that Julio touchdown, that's when it was going crazy.
That's right. So next up, Super Bowl V. People forget about this. The all-whites of the Colts always look good. And then the Cowboys, they broke out those royal blue jerseys. They don't wear those enough. Never wear those. They wear the dark ones now.
They need to go throwback right chill. I like them right chill.
Right? It's a little bit more royal blue than it is dark blue. Next up, 10. To me, I know we have whatever. I'm a homer. I think the best is the most classic of them all is the Cowboys whites against the Steelers black jerseys. That's your classic Super Bowl look there. We saw it we've seen it three times, in fact, and some people like me were calling for it. In Super Bowl 51, alas, we have
and that's how you knew them boys had hands. They ain't play with no gloves back in the day. And it was cold outside, too. When nobody wearing no gloves, man, them boys went raw.
The thing I'll say, here's my note, you know, while Coach Tomlin dissects what the Steelers need to do in the offseason, I think what they need to explore is maybe going
Here
with
we go.
The gray face masks instead of the black face masks. You see, they're named after steel. Shouldn't the face mask be the color of steel? It's cool.
We got Miss Cynthia back, man. Let's go to the next week.
All right, we're done. We're done. Okay, let's do one more thing here now that Cynthia Freeland has returned our midst here. We were just talking uniforms.
Perfect.
We were talking about some other stuff about how you handle losing as a fan versus a player. Who do you think takes it worse, Cynthia? You've experienced both. You're a fan, and you've been around a fair number of players, as have I. I feel like ultimately it hurts weirdly. This shouldn't be the case, you would think. But I think the human condition requires that you have to be able to rationalize to move on. So if you're in it, if you're on the Packers or Steelers and you just lost a tough one, I think you have to be able to rationalize so that your life continues on. You were just playing in the game. I think from a distance, in a way, it hurts even worse.
So, you know that thing where, like, you know, you're a superstitious fan, so, like, you'll switch positions on the couch, or you'll be like, when I was eating popcorn, they were winning, so I got to keep eating popcorn. Or, you know, some crazy thing happens and you feel like in some way, like, your energy will, like, a butterfly will flap its wings and everything will get solved with your team or whatever it is.
We
like,
all delude ourselves.
Correct. To think that we have some sort
of... Well, if you're a grown-up and you're watching this thing and you're trying to associate with guys from across across the country and they happen to be wearing your city's uniform, you feel like you feel that connection there, even though it may be tenuous at best. But I do think they cared. So, but anyway, continue with your point.
So my point is as a fan, you just don't have any control, and you don't think like, okay, I can go through this mentally and say, hey, you know, when I watched a film back, I could have made a better block, or you don't have that kind of, you're just sitting there being like, I didn't eat enough popcorn. If I would have just kept eating popcorn, the team would, like, there's just, it's kind of irrational. So you do feel this connection, like, if I would have cheered harder, whatever the superstitious thing that you might do is, like, I think for fans, you have no control. So you just feel it differently. And players, for the most part, every week of the season, they have to move on. There's no choice because there's another game coming up that next week. And if you're lucky enough to get to the postseason and your last game is a loss, you know, that means you at least got to the postseason. So you were doing enough right to be, you know, like, not everyone can win, like, not everyone can even get to the postseason.
I think you're on to something with the powerlessness. You have no hand in it, and speaking of the human condition, it's much easier to say, well, I would have been happy if it weren't for you, and so it's easy to be like, the Steelers let me down, you
or
know?
Like, but
that it exposes your
well, you can say, hey, I'm coming
angels.
Back next year and I'm gonna make right. six sacks or whatever, you know, something crazy, right? Like, I'm coming back next year and I can get better in this. I have some say.
That's
in what
I'm talking
happens.
Also, right? Yes, right. You start, like, to be forward thinking rather right. than being a fan of those guys let me down.
Or you're like, right. you're like, so, like, I have to wait all the way till September to see them again.
Well, I am sad about that.
Of course.
Football season's over.
I know,
one
I don't
more
like
football
that.
Game. Real quick, and then we're wrapping the show. Just give me one-word answer
real
here.
Real quick.
Next year's Falcons team, nobody picked the Falcons. I'm sure there are going to be a few people out there nationally who said, no, there's a guy in
yep,
whatever, Jacksonville,
is, right?
who picked the Falcons, whatever.
But there's people who picked the Texans, so, you know, for right. everyone that picked, you know.
Okay, the Falcons pretty much came out of nowhere this season, you know, based on the amount of experts who, you know, basically dismissed them. Who's next year's Falcons, Ike Taylor?
Next
who
year's
could
Falcons?
Be?
Who could,
oh. So wait, how bad do they – how
well,
do they have to view them this
Let's
year?
Say they didn't go
the
to the playoffs. No.
Raiders
were supposed to go – that's another good question.
If Derek Carr didn't get hurt, they would have had action. You can say what you want to say.
I agree
them
with
boys
that.
Had action.
I agree with that, but they were a double-digit win team. I'm talking about a team that
right.
Was,
like, you got to see how bad. Like, what's the
a bad team?
What's yeah. the what's the like?
What's a non-playoff team that has a chance to?
I'm gonna go
make,
with the Jigs. I'm gonna go with the Jaguars.
Really?
Okay.
I like what Coach Tom – when Coach Tom Coughlin – not even coach because he's just an administrator. He's head of a lot of stuff.
He's
now.
The boss now,
he's
right?
He's the big boss. He's going to have discipline over there in Jacksonville, and they do have talent. The only thing
– Well, they got to get them – they got to get five right.
That's the only thing. Five got to get right. Because if five ain't right, their life ain't right. So five got to get right. Over
if
there
five ain't right, it's going to be good night. I what, punched that one up a little two? Bit, right?
Broncos.
Bronco.
Yeah.
Who's their quarterback?
That was easy.
Someone good.
Who is it going to be, though?
Maybe Tony Romo. I don't know. Hot takes here. I don't know. I think that when you have that good of a defense, it helps project you to have a better season. So they missed the playoffs this year. I feel like I like snuck in with the sneaky pick here, like the cheater's pick, because if you have that good of a defense, if you have that good of a defense, it's rare to miss the playoffs. So
I want to self-validate here, and I also would like to see it happen. I often say if it can't be my favorite team winning the Super Bowl, the fan base that deserves it most, the Buffalo Bills. I mean, and Tyrod Taylor is going to be a major question, but had some good moments again in 2016. And I think, and I predicted this is self-validation because I did say this in the preseason, Rex Ryan isn't going to make it through the year, and somebody is going to benefit from the keen draft picks they did.
I was about to say that. Their draft was good.
They had a great defensive draft, and then they got hurt, so they didn't. So
unlucky.
They didn't get the benefit from that. And now they're going to.
Oh yeah.
That defense is going to be for real.
It's gonna be legit. If they can stay healthy, that defense from Buffalo.
I think
you know who else could sneak in.
Who?
I think we could see the Tennessee Titans.
Oh.
I think we could see the Tennessee Titans.
That's not as. I mean, you two patting each other on the back. Those you say Raiders and the Titans who were right on the cusp. I went bold. I just went with the Bills.
You slept on that exotic run game. You slept on that
exotic
run
game. Smash mouth.
Talking about.
You was like, I don't think they're gonna do that all year. It's boring, and they damn near.
Wait, can I tell you another one?
Damn
can I tell you another one?
What?
San Diego Chargers. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The L.A. Chargers.
I was about to say, what team in San Diego?
Yeah, right. That could be a good one, too. No? They're going to get a lot of pieces back. That defense, maybe?
Yeah.
No? All right, let's go back to where I started. The Buffalo Bills, that's going to be a good one. Cynthia Freeland, Ike Taylor, can't wait to hit the road to Houston,
Woo-hoo!
Texas. Let's go eat some wings.
See you in Houston.
Ike is very excited for this Houston.
Apparently you cabbage patch.
No question.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, too. I'm just feeding off your enthusiasm.
They said, Houston, we have a problem because they knew Ike T was about to fall.
Right. All right.
I told you.
Thanks to everybody behind the glass, Eternal Red Zone, Check
I love
Report,
my,
all that
I love
stuff.
My music.
Oh, yeah, Dick Bank.
Awesome.
Here's the tops. All right,
awesome.
See, now the music is still playing here. That wasn't enough. You started it before I was ready, so now start it, and I think we can make this thing right. Okay, so we have one more show here in Los Angeles. Then we hit the road for Houston, Texas. We're anxious to analyze it every which way. We'll do so for you. DDFP.
That was weird.
That was even worse. I know. That was
weird.
All right, that's the show.